It's really important to separate your business and your personal finance. And that may seem obvious to you, but you'd be shocked at how many businesses come to us and they've got their consumer checking account and they're like, spouse's payroll is going into it and they're running a business out of the same account. And it happens all the time. It's really important to separate, even on the credit side, because using personal credit to run your business can artificially inflate your utilization and artificially deflate your credit score, which makes personal borrowing more expensive when you want to buy a house or a car.
I hope you and your family are safe and healthy, physically and mentally. Like all of you, I have a full house right now. My husband is working from home. My son's school is obviously closed. It was supposed to reopen next week, but we got the news it won't reopen. For all I know, the school won't reopen until September. Many of us have no option other than juggling between trying to homeschool, caregiving, housework, and business stress. I know you are feeling extremely uncertain about where the future is heading. I am too. It is like this for all of us right now, which is why we need each other more than ever now. We cannot panic, we cannot stop marketing, and most importantly, we must rip off the band-aid and really understand where we stand with both our business and personal finances. For many of us, our business supports our family. So we must know the minimum amount we need for our personal life. Then we have to include this minimum amount as part of the expenses in our business finance. Last week in my solo episode, I discussed how to stress test the financial health of your business. I share a tool that I used back in the financial crisis of 2008-2009. It's called the scenario or what-if analysis. Essentially, it is a tool to stress test the financial health of your business. Back in episode 28 with Luann Negara, co-owner of Windows Work, who had experienced two recessions, not one, but two. She shared how the first recession almost killed the business and what she did differently during the second recession. You will have the link to last week's solo episode as well as episode 28 with Luann Negara in the show notes. At a possible economic downturn, stress test, cash reserve, and strategic budget cutting can help you better predict and absorb the financial impact on your business. You may want to consider another backup plan to help you with cash flow. I'm in this uncertain situation together with you. And that's why today and over the next few weeks, I'm bringing in experts to talk about what could be your backup plan. We will talk about alternative financing options available to small businesses. I want you to know what are your options out there. You're listening to Her CEO Journey, the business finance podcast for women entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Christina Shahli. If you are new here, a big warm welcome. If we are not connected on LinkedIn, please reach out and say hi, because that's where I hang out and share my business finance tips. If you have been listening to this podcast every week, I want you to know I appreciate you. Feel free to send me a private message on LinkedIn or submit your question using the link provided in the show notes. I want you to tell me which part of the conversation in this episode resonates and inspires you, and to ask me any business finance question. I will do a bonus episode to answer your questions on this podcast, or I will post a video on LinkedIn if we are connected there. This is a free weekly show where my guest and I take you behind the scenes and into the inner workings of our businesses, sharing the good, the bad, and the truth about the money we have made or lost and recover as entrepreneurs. And all because we want to inspire you to achieve financial equality through your business. if cash flow is an issue for you right now and you need a quick solution, you will love this episode. I invited Catherine Petralia, president and co-founder of Cabbage, to share how Cabbage can help small business owners with their cash flow gap. Cabbage simplifies small business cash flow management with a solution that gives you confidence in your next step. Let's find out Catherine's CEO journey. Catherine Petralia, welcome to her CEO journey.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is a great time to bring you on, given the situation that we are in. But before we get into the detail, can you help my audience to understand more? How is your journey in building Cabbage, which was started in 2008, correct?
That's correct. It was a really interesting time to start a company. It turns out lots of technology companies begin in a counter-cyclical market. So we were not unusual in that, but we were unusual in starting a financial services company serving small businesses in 2008. It was hard to raise money for that. But It's funny, people talk about, they presume when they ask us questions about how we started that somebody was a small business struggling to get access to capital and that was the idea. But the idea was actually my co-founder, Rob. He's our CEO. And he had the idea because eBay had launched an API the year before that allowed third parties access to seller and transaction level data. And Rob was working with that data with another company. And he thought, wow, that's really interesting. I wonder if you could use that to provide working capital to a business selling on eBay. So he called me up. My background is fintech and more on the consumer side, and said, hey, what do you think about that? Could we automate access to capital for small businesses on eBay? And I was like, well, sure, why not? Because consumer lending has been automated since the 90s. Well, it turns out nobody, it was a total ignorance on our part. No one was automating small business lending. And even in 2020, very few businesses automate access to capital for small businesses because it's really hard to do. But we were really fortunate that we got our start in digital, if you will. We're a digital native. We got our start serving eBay businesses, and it really helped us understand how to use real-time access to third-party data sources to understand how businesses perform. And that's how we got started. Today, eBay represents like 2% of our customers. Most of our customers are brick-and-mortar businesses, but that's definitely where we started.
So just to clarify, API is Application Program Interface. So what does that mean? How is that related to your business right now? Is that related on how you're collecting your data when you are approving an applicant?
That's exactly right. So what happens, it's sort of like when you log in with Facebook or something, or Google, or pay with Amazon. When you log into the third party, and you authenticate, then you authorize that third party to share data, in this case with Cabbage. So when it was eBay, for example, the customer would go to the eBay website from our site. It would be easy and simple. It wouldn't be complicated. They wouldn't feel like they were leaving us, but they would go to the eBay website. They would log in and authorize eBay to generate a token that allowed them to share data with us. And that is how that API works for us. It's just basically a way to connect two different parties.
Okay. So what are the type of financing that Cabbage provide? And then how is it different than traditional banking?
Cabbage provides a line of credit that our customers can access at any time. They can have as many transactions as they want to up to their line amount. So it's really valuable to businesses because traditional institutions and even non-traditional institutions tend to provide one-time access to capital, a single installment loan. And the challenge for small businesses is they're never quite sure how much they need at any point in time. And they may be a little worried they may need more later. And so that tends to push them to borrow more than they need and pay more in fees than they need. And so that just makes the cost of capital more expensive. So a line of credit is a really flexible and useful tool for a business.
Okay. But even in a line of credit, though, there is a maximum limit. So let's say that somebody got approved initially at a $10,000 line of credit, which they can use little by little up to $10,000. After the $10,000, are they allowed to increase the amount?
Well, the line that we provide when you join us in the first place represents the revenue that you're generating at that time. So if your business grows, then we grow with you. If your business contracts, we might contract with you as well.
What type of businesses, you mentioned that only 2% is e-commerce and then the rest of it are brick and mortars. Is that the type, is there a specific industry that Cabbage provide loan to?
We literally serve any legal industry you could possibly imagine. Wow. Everything from manufacturing to construction to medical practices, professional services, restaurants, retail, home services, consulting, companies that manufacture globes. I mean, you name it, like all kinds of things.
Okay. When I look at Cabbage website, this is what I saw, right? Like the approval process is literally like very quick. And one of the requirements over there, I saw it has to be somebody in business 1+ year, right? 50K in revenue or 4,200 per month over the last 3 months, if I'm not mistaken. Is that, that's the initial requirement. So people have some idea if they want to apply or not. Correct?
That's correct.
So now, as soon as they fill in the information, like in the traditional banking, you know, they have to provide their balance sheet. They have to provide their profit and loss. Now, going back to that API thing, what are you guys collecting in order to determine if somebody, even though they have all of the requirement when you're in business, 50,000 and all that stuff, if they are going to be able to pay the loan later on or, you know, meet your criteria?
What we're looking for, the reason a year of data is important to us is because we need to understand the cash flow of that business. Mm-hmm. And every industry has a different cycle. Mm-hmm. So what's important for us to understand what that year does is it helps us understand that cycle, that cash flow cycle for that business. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes there are seasonal influences on cash flow. Sometimes certain industries have natural cycles like construction where work is done. And then a month later, the work is paid for. And then you get, so that's it's really important to understand. And a lot of cash flow is lumpy for small businesses. And so we're able to, just by accessing things like checking account data, accounting data, payment processing data, we're able to look into our customers' revenue cycle and we're able to predict cash flow for that business.
So for example, if somebody has using QuickBooks, Xero, FreshBooks, whatever it is, so you're asking access to their accounting software.
That's exactly right.
And then I'm assuming, are you downloading their profit and loss using that accounting software, or there is something behind the scene where you or where Cabbage is collecting all the information and then building your own projection?
We are building our own projection using multiple data sources.
Now, how do you know if a business already, for example, have another loan somewhere else? Like, I guess the credit risk of an applicant, how do you assess that?
Well, there are several different ways we can see that. But honestly, we can see it in a checking account. We can see if there are payments being made to another lender. And the fact of the matter is, let's just say they have another checking account and they're paying out of that account. The money mm-hmm. has to come from somewhere. And if the money's being moved from one account to another, we see that too. So we're really able to understand what kind of cash flow that business has, what is their revenue, and what are their obligations?
How do you determine the maximum limit of a loan or of a line of credit?
Our goal is to make sure that our customers can reasonably accommodate whatever debt burden they have. And okay. so we want to make sure that they can repay that obligation for their benefit as well as for ours. So yep. it's based on revenue. We really want to understand what their revenue is and what it's going to be relative to the burden that they have, other obligations.
If somebody is asking for a credit limit above 200,000, there will be additional information that Cabbage require. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so what type of information would you need from a business owner that is applying or feel like they need more than 200,000?
Well, and that is also proprietary, but I can tell you that one of the things we would be looking at that we don't normally look at is tax data.
Okay.
We're not able to get that from the IRS in an automated way. So it takes a little bit longer because we have to actually have a customer send it to us. And then, that decision has to be made after the customer collects the data and provides it to us manually.
Okay, why is the tax return or the tax data is important to you guys?
Larger businesses are filing tax returns mm-hmm. and they're doing it using accountants and they're audited. And so mm-hmm. we can rely a little bit on the diligence that's done by the IRS and by their own accountants.
Okay. Here's another thing. Once somebody receives the funding from Cabbage, yeah, got approved, how do you, Cabbage, monitor the ability of them serving the payment? Like, do you require them to give you a certain information, or are you continuing to access behind the scene to assess their ability to continue paying the loan?
Yes, we are connected to the data. So we don't just connect to data when the customer applies. We stay connected to data as long as we have a relationship with the customer. If the data is disconnected, then the customer can lose access to their line.
So what are you looking at then?
I can't really be very specific. What I can tell you is we're looking at consistency of cash flow, consistency of revenue, and consistency of obligations. And we're basically applying the same exact model that we initially used when you came to us on a daily basis to basically ensure that your business is continuing to stay on track or grow.
If something is wrong by the data that you are collecting, how do you tell the business owner? And then what do you expect them to do?
Well, we see trouble in a couple of different places. Sometimes we see trouble because they can't make a payment. Sometimes we see trouble because they call us and say, hey, I'm having trouble. I can't make a payment. Can you work with me? Sometimes we see trouble because we see a sharp decline in revenue. Sometimes, or a mild decline in revenue. Sometimes we see trouble because they disconnect their data. These are all signs of trouble. And in every one of those cases, if it's not the customer proactively contacting us, then we contact them.
What do you guys normally help out in that regard?
We have lots of different programs and a lot of different options for businesses, depending on the size of their balance, the amount of their revenue, the length of time they need, the duration of the loan that they originally borrowed from us. There's all kinds of things that go into that.
Okay. So what about in terms of financing costs, meaning that the interest, what do you guys charge?
Our average effective rate is in the mid-30s if it was an APR. And you know, a lot of our customers are borrowing for less than 12 months. And that artificially inflates an APR, which is typically a measure used for consumer lending rates. And our customers are using the money to generate revenue. So it's not exactly apt, but we disclose it because people seem to understand that number. Most of our customers legitimately just want to know, if I borrow $1,000 from you, how much am I going to have to repay you?
Because it's a line of credit, right? Let's say, you know, they have a $10,000 limit and then they use it for $2,000. As soon as they pay the $2,000, do they have to pay additional fee on a monthly basis? No.
Nope. If our customers pay early, then there's no prepayment penalty. They just pay it early and they don't pay any fees. All of our fees are charged in the month in which they have a balance. So if you only keep it for 1 month, and this is where it, like, the APR is perverse. So let's mm-hmm. say that you have a 6 month loan mm-hmm. of $1,000. I'm charging you a total of 12% of that loan amount over that 6 month period. So $120, but you pay me off in month one. And in month one, there's a 4% fee. Then you're only paying me $40. And that's it. That's the whole thing. The effective APR of that is huge because it's happening in 1 month, not 12. We do lots of other things than lending though. So we provide invoicing and payment processing. We're about to relaunch our card product that we're very excited about. We have an insights product where customers can come in and compare their business to some other business and they don't have to buy anything from us to use that. There's lots and lots of things we offer other than lending.
Let's switch a little bit then. What is the invoicing? What is payment processing? And what is the card processing that you just mentioned?
So it's important to note, I think, when you think about small businesses, and I'm going to use US numbers here, there are 32 million small businesses in the US. 90% of them have fewer than 20 employees. 78% of them have fewer than 10. So most small businesses in the US, and again, SMBs are responsible for 50% of non-farm GDP and 66% of all new jobs. Most of these small businesses are really, really small. Mm-hmm. And that's important to remember. And so even fintechs, even new entrants, have a hard time serving the S's of an SMB. Mm-hmm. And that's really our focus and our customer base. So companies like Bill.com, we love that company. We think it's really cool. They're serving the M's. From an invoicing perspective, most of our customers can't afford to spend what it costs to get access to an invoicing platform because they don't send enough. So our customer's ability to send an invoice that allows a third party to pay that invoice directly, they may only want to do it twice a month, not 20 times a month, which is what they need to do in order to justify the expense of it. So that's an example of invoicing. So our customers can send an invoice link to somebody who owes the money, and that customer can click the link and make the payment. Payment processing in general is sort of where Square and PayPal started, allowing businesses to accept credit cards. And we're offering that to our customers as well, directly. So not only online, but also in person. And so that's the invoicing and payment processing. We are launching a card product that's a charge card product that will look very much like a traditional charge card product with a true grace period. There's a difference between a charge card and a credit card. A credit card is technically a revolving line of credit. Mm-hmm. And then there is a percentage fee that is charged on all unpaid balances. Mm-hmm. A charge card, you make the charges, and then at the end of that 30-day period, you pay it off entirely. It doesn't revolve, like an American Express card.
It's like a credit card. You can charge it.
It's a charge card.
Yeah, okay. It's a charge card.
These are regulatory terms. So a charge card and a credit card, they're two different things. They both use a plastic card, and you swipe both of them. One of them, you cannot pay it back immediately. That's the credit card. That's a revolving card. A charge card just means that you charge the transactions and then you pay the balance off every month. There is no ability to not pay it back.
Huh.
But it's cheaper, much cheaper. And usually they come with a great rewards program, which ours will too.
There is no interest because the balance will be paid off on a monthly basis. Like it's fully paid off. There is no ability to carry it over to the following month. Right?
That is correct.
Okay. But now, is there any fee, upfront fee at all?
Nope. Zero fees.
Zero fees. Wow.
Zero fees.
How is this beneficial for Cabbage?
Well, because it's great for customers. So our customers have access to a great rewards program, and they also have access to lots of other products and services that we're offering.
Oh, okay. Now, in terms of your invoicing and payment processing, okay, is there any fee attached to it?
Yes, customers always pay a fee for payment processing. Our fee, we had a press release about it recently and did a bunch of press. I don't know what the precise fee is for acceptance, but ours is just slightly lower than industry standard.
But all these three products are completely different than the loan side. And are you looking at their financial information as well? Or this is just, if you have a business, you can apply with Cabbage and then you can do the invoicing, the payment processing, or the card.
There's still an application process because even by law, we have to verify that business's identity and the owner's identity. And we have to go through something called UBO, which confirms other owners of the business. There's a lot of fraud in payments. So we have to, you know, verify that that business is a business generating legitimate revenue, just like we do for lending. That's one of the things that's so natural about us moving into those products, because the hardest thing to do is make someone a loan. There's a lot of risk involved in that. And there's risk in these other products too, but it's easier to manage than lending. So we can basically easily expand our circle because we really understand how to manage risk and how to use data. It's basically cash flow management. We internally call it cash flow as a service, but think of it as a pocket treasurer. Most small businesses with fewer than 20 employees don't have a treasurer. They don't have a CFO. Mm-hmm. Most business owners don't have an MBA with a concentration in finance. And finance is complicated. And so they spend so much of their time managing cash flow, dealing with their bank, dealing with their card providers, dealing with payment processing, dealing with borrowing and invoicing. And so our goal is to make it simple for them and to help them understand exactly what they can do to spend the least amount possible on their money and earn the most they can.
Your company deal with a lot of small business owners. What do you think the biggest struggle or the biggest fear that they have about cash flow?
The answer to that is, of course, that they won't have any, or they won't have enough, or they won't be able to predict it. But if you back it up to one more question, we asked a ton of small business owners who were not our customers, what kept them up at night? Mm-hmm. And the answer 90% of the time was cash flow. And again, what a small business owner means by cash flow is very different than what the CFO of a publicly traded, you know, $10 billion company thinks cash flow. So they're simply mm-hmm. saying, am I going to have the money to do the things I need to do to run this business? Can I make payroll? Can I pay? Can I cover rent? Can I buy my supplies? Can I, you know, market to my customers? All of these things are issues that require cash flow.
A lot of people think getting a line of credit, it's, you know, it's going to help them with their cash flow issue. What is your take on that based on what you have seen with your clients or talking to other business owners?
It really depends on what they need. There are customers. I had a customer call and they wound up emailing me or something, and I wound up talking to them on the phone.
Yeah.
And they had a line of credit, or they had an outstanding loan with a competitor. And they, like a $40,000 balance, I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. And they really wanted $80,000. And they had like a $10,000 line of credit with us. And he said, well, I'm happy to pay off the competitor loan and you can refinance it yourself. And I said, don't do that, because that competitor charged you a fee up front for that $40,000. And if you pay it off and then come to me, then you're double paying fees. You shouldn't do that. So that's to me an example of when borrowing doesn't necessarily help your cash flow needs, especially if you're overpaying for that borrowing. I think using our funds for payroll is not really a cash flow issue. And I'll give you an exception to that. And that is in the construction industry, mm-hmm. where a lot of times what happens is the construction company owner has to pay up front for materials, and they have to pay up front for labor. And they have to make sure they pay that labor, because if they have a great labor pool, they want to make sure they can come back for the next project. But there may be 60 days they have to wait to get paid by the person who is building the project, whatever it is, by the builder. So I think it's really important to understand that's a different cash flow gap. And some of those funds may be used for payroll, but it's used for the purpose of, because they're waiting for income coming from whomever the builder may be. Does that make sense?
Yes, I know what you mean. So what you mean is that the loan that they borrow from Cabbage or any other alternative financing company should be used to just fill in the gap between when they're going to receive the money from their clients and when they have to pay the contractors or their suppliers.
And that's one example. And the other examples, I think we see our customers use it for growth. Maybe they know, maybe they're a retailer. Early on, what we saw in e-commerce was our customers would get a great deal on some products, and they needed capital upfront to be able to buy them because they knew they could sell them and they knew how much they would make from them. So that's one example. Another one is you want to expand your business. Maybe you own a restaurant and you know that you could take the space next door, but you need to pay for that upfront. And you have to pay for, you know, a new pizza oven. You have to pay for more tables and chairs. That's also a growth potential. And that's something that we think is a good use of capital. But making payroll because like your business is struggling, that's not the best use of capital.
I agree with you. I guess my point is this. I met a lot of business owners that are thinking, oh, you know, I need to get a loan because A, you know, I don't have enough cash flow every month. And then I guess I want to crush that myth. I think when you go to a lender or getting alternative financing, there should be a sense of responsibility that you need to be able to pay off that loan, right? Like, I mean, there will be uncertain situation that we cannot control, obviously, right? But in my opinion, like, I think you need to have that mindset. You know what? I am needing this for one of example that you gave for growth. I'm needing this because of the gap between the cash that I'm going to receive from my clients and then when I need to pay my suppliers. Those make sense, right? But if you are just like want to pay yourself or want to pay not making enough money at the end of the day, I don't think that is a mindset that we, even your company wants to promote or wants to encourage.
Absolutely not. I totally agree with you. I think that is emblematic of a business that is struggling. And so a struggling business needs to look at the underlying factors that are causing the business to struggle. Maybe there aren't enough customers. Maybe the cost of delivering the product is too expensive. Maybe the rent is too high. Maybe the employees aren't productive enough. There are a million reasons that that could be. But if you look at the end of every month and you say, I'm not generating enough revenue to support this business, then there's a different issue that the borrowing is not going to solve.
Exactly. So in your experience in providing all the services to borrower, have you seen somebody that when you look at their data initially, they were okay, right? But suddenly you realize that they don't have a good financial planning habit. Like, can you see that by reviewing their data on a monthly basis or even on a daily basis?
Well, ideally you see it in black and white for the year prior to them becoming a customer of Cabbage. Ideally, we see that because you can see what the inflows and outflows are. You can understand exactly, but they were building a balance sheet effectively for our customers on their behalf. And so what we're looking for is what's changed, if anything, and is it changing for the better or is it changing for the worse?
Do you believe there is a gap in giving financing to women?
1,000,000%. I think that that is being solved somewhat by online platforms. What we've seen in our customer population is that we have twice as many women and minority-owned businesses mm-hmm. in our portfolio mm-hmm. as exist in the general business-owning population. And I think there are a couple of reasons for that. I think the number one is positive selection. Business women and minority business owners are coming to us because it's a blind process. They're not going in to sit across from some 62-year-old white guy at the Bank of America. I don't mean to pick up Bank of America, but whatever. The loan officer across the desk. Mm-hmm. They can do it and not feel like they're being judged for who they are and what they look like and the color of their skin and the length of their mm-hmm. hair. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important because no matter how hard that loan officer tries, humans are biased. I think humans are terrible decision makers. Mm. So I think that automating a process eliminates that bias, and that automation attracts women and minorities. So I think there's two sides of that coin.
Are you seeing increasing number of women business owners coming to Cabbage over the years?
Well, the thing is, we don't actually know because we're not collecting any of that information, oh, okay. even in order to find out the data that I told you. Mm-hmm. We had to take all of our data and send it off to some third party, like super dark secret organization that reverse engineers our customer information and can sort of approximate what they think women and minority owned businesses are in our population. We don't actually know who they are. And that's one of the great things that democratizes access to capital is the fact that mm-hmm. we are blind.
It's eliminating the judgment. Anybody can go over there. Nobody is like looking at you, talking in front of you. It's just your computer. You can apply that and it's quick. It makes it easier. I guess it takes away that shame because I know a lot of business owner, when they want to apply for a loan, I think they feel ashamed. Like, why do I need a loan? Right?
Yeah. And I'm not doing well enough. So therefore I have to borrow. But think about it. Huge corporations
yes.
have massive, massive debt facilities.
Yep.
And borrowing yeah. is what drives the economy.
Yep.
And so I think that's a really important, and I don't think business owners appreciate that. I don't think they appreciate that they're doing the right thing for their business if they're using the funds in the appropriate ways.
Exactly. And I think that's the key. Before they have to know why they need the fund, right? With any fund, I don't think it's only with Cabbage. Even if they are applying or they are pitching to a venture capital, they need to understand, why am I needing this fund? How am I going to grow my company? And am I going to be able, in hindsight, like right now, based on the information that I have, you know, can I control certain things? There are so many uncontrollable things out there. I get that, right? But I think it's the mindset. Like, do I know what I want to use this fund? Is it for growth? Or is it because I want to pay myself? There's so many different reasons. What would be your best advice to business owners out there, specifically women business owners that are struggling right now?
What I'm going to say first applies to anyone, any business owner, which is it's really important to separate your business and your personal finance. And that may seem obvious to you, but you'd be shocked at how many businesses come to us and they've got their consumer checking account and they're like, spouse's payroll is going into it and they're running a business out of the same account. And it happens all the time. It's really important to separate, even on the credit side, because using personal credit to run your business can artificially inflate your utilization and artificially deflate your credit score, which makes personal borrowing more expensive when you want to buy a house or a car. So I think it's really important for folks to separate business and personal, number one. And that applies to everyone. For women, I think, you know, there's this whole issue that women have the imposter syndrome, this idea that I'm not good enough and I can't say that I know how to do something if I haven't done it before, whereas men are less likely to struggle with that conflict. Mm-hmm. I think just being confident, recognizing what you're really good at, what are you an expert at? If you are running a business and you're not an expert at something in that business, then it's time to think, am I in the right business? So recognizing and appreciating and frankly shouting about your expertise is really important because other folks will trust that your own confidence. So being confident is super, super important. And I think the last thing isn't for women or men too, but I think maybe women may not be as likely to do this, is having a business partner is really, really useful. You don't have to do it all yourself. And it's great to have a different point of view, a different perspective for making decisions. I think better decisions are made when there's more than one person, as long as there's 100, part of making that decision. So, as for women specifically, here's what I would say. Don't be afraid to ask for help. We do a lot of things. We have to make babies and we're more likely want to take care of them. And we have all more responsibilities in the home than our male counterparts typically. I know that's changing, but we just naturally are more inclined to do that work. And we need to be willing to ask for help, whether it's asking family members or neighbors or friends or anybody else. We need to be willing to ask for help when we need it and not try to do it all ourselves.
God, yes, I know. It's the belief that we can do it all. It's killing us. We want to be a wife. We want to be a business owner. We want to be a mom. We want to be the best mom too, right? Like it's all that pressure. Like
we have to be really thin and gorgeous and look young all the time. Like it's way too much pressure.
I hear you. So is there anything special that Cabbage is doing in this uncertain situation to help business owners?
Well, we're still out there and we're still providing capital to our customers. I'm hearing, every day that other capital providers have, closed their doors for all intents and purposes because these are uncertain times. In addition to that, our customers who currently have balances with us, our phones have been ringing off the hook and we're answering them to talk to our customers about their concerns so we can work with them to make sure that we can help them get through this time too. We're also working really closely with policymakers and legislators to understand how we can be part of a lot of the relief funds that are being deployed or talking about being deployed to small businesses, because we're in a really unique position to be able to help deliver those funds in an automated way.
Are you planning to go international anytime soon, especially the neighboring country like Canada?
We've talked about it before. I think we need to get through this process of launching the new products and making sure that they're working properly. And then we definitely think that Canada would make a lot of sense for us.
Yes, I think so too. So where can people find you, Catherine?
Me personally or Cabbage?
Both.
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty easy to find there. And Cabbage, you can go to www.cabbage.com. Today, we're really excited. We launched something called helpsmallbusiness.com. And that allows any business owner to come to our site and allow their customers to buy gift certificates for their business that they can use at a later time, which is great because it puts funds in small businesses' hands when they need it most.
I know. I saw that on your LinkedIn post and then I thought, wow, that's amazing. But okay, let me understand this. Are you still accepting new applicants? Just want to be clear.
Yes, we are.
Yes, you are. And then this gift certificate things is applied to even like new applicants.
It is. Effectively, the business signs up for payment processing with us so that we can process that card transaction for our customer. And then we deliver the certificate directly to the consumer who buys it. And we deliver to the business a tool that allows them to track the certificates and mark them as used when they're redeemed.
Yes, and it, but I think there is a small portion that cabbage would hold for a little bit until it's redeemed. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you so much, Catherine. This has been great.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Thank you so much for joining me here every week at Her CEO Journey, the business finance podcast for women's entrepreneurs. Head on over to christinashahli.com/HerCEOJourney to subscribe for this podcast. And don't forget to tell other women entrepreneurs that this podcast is available for free in the podcast apps of their choice. Until next time, and let's continue to grow a business that fuels the life that you want to live.